Hello and welcome back to the Talk Red podcast. This episode, firstly, we are going to obviously talk about the Burnley game. And then we're going to talk about the title race, obviously. And then the buying game, and then round off the podcast. This podcast episode is a bit different. I've asked my dad to take over, as I think he thinks he can do a better job.
Okay.
There will be a little bit of background noise as we're in the car, but hopefully you go on to enjoy. And also, I have an Instagram account called Talk Red. No spaces, no special letters or anything like that, just Talk Red. I post Liverpool edits and you'll be notified when I upload podcasts. So go follow that account and let's get into the podcast.
Sunday the 10th of March, it's 8 p.m, driving from Manchester to Yorkshire. I'm here with Issa, it's his podcast, but I've decided to take it over because I was bored with the way that it was going previously. I don't want to talk about who's going to be signed, whether or not it should be a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, whether or not the substitutions were great. I'm not interested in any of that, I'm interested in much deeper stuff, right? So we're going to have a completely different kind of podcast. It's a good day to have a podcast because Liverpool have won their game after City won their game on Saturday. City obviously winning 3-1 against Watford after drawing 0-0 at half time. There was some hope, and then there was a hat-trick by Raheem Sterling within 13 minutes. There was a consolation goal. I'm not sure exactly who scored it, but it was 3-1 in the end. So that put some pressure on Liverpool because they were 4 points behind and there was a goal difference of +8. Early kickoffs, never the best, and the enemy of all enemies, which is the weather, was playing up massively today. So if you're anywhere in the north of England, you'll know that we've had rain, hail, snow, sunshine, and of course, the bane of Jurgen Klopp, the wind. And his quest to defeat the wind continues until today, where he finally was able to slay the wind. Because, I'll bring you in a second. Although Liverpool went one goal down when they shouldn't have, there was a foul on Alisson, the keeper. Very early goal in the 6th minute. Liverpool didn't panic. The crowd didn't panic, which was the most important thing. And of course, they then equalised. And then we'll talk about the rest of the game later. But the final score being 4-2 to Liverpool. Very eventful game. Issa Azem, what did you make of it?
This is going to be so much better. I can already tell. Well, what I made of the game was obviously 1-0 down. And that happened in the reverse fixture at Turf Moor. I thought that the game was very balanced up until their goal. Until, you don't normally say this, but until their goal, we started performing better. And we broke down Burnley extremely well. And we got our equalising goal. It was a bit scuffed, like the Arsenal one where they went 1-0 up. You just need a little bit of luck in these kind of situations. If you want to win a title, you need to have some luck and decisions go your way. And there was just a mix-up between Heaton and one of the Burnley defenders. We got our first goal. And then an amazing, well, not a great finish by Sadio to make it 2-1. And then the next two goals just sealed it for Liverpool. Even though there were a few nervy seconds at the end of the match, but Mane scored and sealed the victory.
What was interesting about the game was the fact that Liverpool got a goal down, and I think it's clear that the team itself don't really panic and they have a maturity about them and they don't seem to be feeling much of the pressure.
Well, at the Leicester game...
The crowd themselves are the ones who have been feeling the pressure, especially those people living on Twitter, right, and living on Instagram and calling people out. For example, before the kickoff, and this is precisely the point I make about this podcast, which bores me to death. Should Keita have come on? Should Keita play the next game? Who should be in the team? Well, who guessed today's team? Who guessed that Adam Lallana was going to play? Who guessed that? And when they were told that, who dissed it? And then what happened? Then what happens is Adam Lallana puts in a man of the match performance. It is precisely
he won man of the match. Yeah, but that
he won man of the match.
He shouldn't have, because
okay, now whether you thought that he was given the man of the match award.
He
right?
was very good.
And so this goes to prove the point I was making, which is Klopp spends every single day with these players. And what? We know better? Well, if we knew better, we'd be in his position. Fine, have an opinion. That's great. But if opinion doesn't mean anything, what is it based on? And now it's like, oh, Shaq should have played. Oh, Keita should have played. Oh, what's Lallana doing on the pitch? And this is why we talk about the story of the game and what the story of the season is and what's happening. So right now, there's been 5 draws from 7 games. Okay, that's what's happened. Right? Some of that is good, some of that not so good.
Yeah.
Right? We've got a game against Bayern coming up. So we've got to prepare for the game against Bayern Munich as well. And this simply keeps the pressure on City. 8 games to go. Win the games that you need to in hand. And there's a period coming up where City have to play cup games when Liverpool are playing league games. And if everybody's winning their games after the international break, Liverpool would be 5 points ahead and City have 2 games in hand. But it's better to have the points in the bag than to have the games in hand. So, this is not over.
Yeah, obviously it's not over. We're 1 point behind. Like, you can't write us off now. I mean, I must admit, it's looking unlikely. The City team just look inhumane. They look amazing.
Inhumane?
Yeah, that's a word, isn't it?
No,
no. All right. Well, they don't...
Inhumane means cruel.
Yes, they're inhumane. They're cruel to Liverpool.
You're looking for another word.
Okay, inhuman then.
Maybe just not human?
Not human. They're winning games by... Normally they win games... Like, they've beaten Chelsea, who were one of the best teams at the start of the season. Beaten them 6-0. 6-0. And they just look unbeatable.
No, but they don't. They seriously don't. They've lost 4 games this season.
They look unbeatable. They're not unbeatable, but they look unbeatable.
No.
Yes, they do.
I don't agree with that at all. They've won games 1-0.
Only like 2.
Yeah, still, that's not a team you look at and you think, oh, you know what? They're going to steamroller everybody.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, City, they're a very good team. Arguments that they're the best team ever in the Premier League. But I mean, Liverpool aren't being mentioned in that way as well, but I think they deserve to be because they were in front for more time than City have done. They've lost less games.
No, you can't be considered to be one of the best teams or the best team if you haven't won the league.
No, I know, but Liverpool still have to be given the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, but if you're saying they need to be ranked alongside this City side, no, this City side wins things. If Liverpool beat City this season and they win the Premier League, then it's a conversation to say that, well, is this the greatest ever Premier League victory?
You see, what I don't get is how trophies change a player or a team. Like, you could say, Modric won the Champions League and was the best player in the World Cup according to FIFA. And he gets the Ballon d'Or. Does that mean he was better than Messi that season? Does that mean he was better than Ronaldo that season? No, but he won the trophy, so apparently he's the best player in the world. Trophies don't mean anything. They're
Sorry,
a piece...
what are we talking about? Individual trophies or team trophies?
Team.
Well, you're just talking about individual trophies for Modric.
Champions League, was it him against...
No, you're talking about Ballon d'Or and World Cup, FIFA...
Yeah, that had a team in it.
No, no. They were individual awards. It wasn't Croatia. It was Modric as an individual. So what are you talking about here? Individual awards or team awards? Just be clear.
No, both. Because I'm talking about team awards. So Barcelona,
right?
That year, they didn't progress through to the semi-finals of the Champions League.
Right.
Yeah. Roma did. Does that mean they're better than Roma? Does that mean Liverpool
yes,
are better than...
Yes, that season. That season it does, because they got through to the last stages of the Champions League.
No, because it's... No, because it's in a one-off game. Barcelona beat them, I think, 4-1 or 3-0.
So Liverpool beat AC Milan in 2005 to win the Champions League. Are they the best team?
In that game, they were.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's the champions of Europe. Not for that game. That's the title you're given. So if you go out in the round of 16, if Barcelona go out in the round of 16 and Wolfsburg go through to the semi-finals, that season they have performed in the elite club competition better than Barcelona.
Well, okay. Colo... I'm trying to think of a player that's won... Okay, yeah. Colo Torre, he's won the Premier League. Okay. Gerrard hasn't. And... But I just... For me, trophies don't mean anything.
What?
For me, trophies...
I have no idea what the point of your discussion is.
Okay, I'm sure there are people out there that understand me.
Well, no, your job is to help them to understand you. And if I don't understand you, there'll also be people who don't understand what it is you're
talking
about.
What I'm saying, a trophy means that you've won lots of games to get to that stage and won the final game. That's what a trophy is.
Right.
Okay. It's a piece of silverware, right? And does it actually mean anything? Say you played extremely well, you're extremely good. In the final, you come up against an opponent who, in head-to-head matches, you are worse than. But overall, against normal teams, you are better. That means you're a better team than them, because you're a better all-round team. And just because they've won a trophy does not mean that they should be in a higher recognition or a higher place than the other team,
okay,
if you know what I'm saying.
A league is different to a cup competition.
Yeah.
There is more luck involved in a cup competition, but there is no luck involved in winning a league. Very little luck. So you have 30... If you've got to be lucky over 38 games in a season to win a league. So a league... They say the league doesn't lie. And the point of the trophy is that you have managed to play better or gain better results than any other team in that league. And to do that is an achievement, because with it comes pressure, the ability, the expectation and the pressure to deliver.
Okay.
So City have won the league.
Yeah.
This team are current champions. If they came second last season, you can't mention them as being one of the great Premier League teams, because there was a team better than them in the league. Same with Liverpool now. They got to a Champions League final? Great. They're currently in the top two? That's great too. But to then compare that team to Manchester City, you can only make a fair comparison at the end of the season, and if they've beaten them, then you can make a judgment between two champions. At the moment, only one of them is. The league doesn't lie.
Okay, I agree with that. Obviously, City were a better team than everybody last season.
And currently, according to the table, they still are.
I don't think they've been better as a team. Actually, I think they're a better team than Liverpool, but they don't have the same consistency as Liverpool. Obviously, beating Chelsea 6-0 and then losing against Newcastle, Crystal Palace and these other stupid teams.
Okay, but again, I tell you, the league doesn't lie. And the league tells us that as it stands, City have performed better than Liverpool. Not just in terms of points, but also in terms of the goal difference as well.
All right, well, I don't have anything more to say on the subject.
Okay, we'll move it on then.
You're the host?
Yeah, I'm telling you to move it on.
Oh, alright then. Well, our next game is obviously on Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
Champions. Yeah, I know, we mentioned it. Bayern, yeah. What about that game?
Why are you killing my motor? You asked me to...
Yeah, I know. We know what's happening Wednesday. Let's give some substance. What's happening? What do you want to talk about?
You're being the host.
Yes, and I'm offering you the opportunity to talk about things which are not to do with injuries, right? Or formations.
All right, then.
What kind of game is it? What kind of game is it going to be?
It's going to be a very... it's going to be, like, up and down. The tempo is going to be up and down. It's going to be high tempo, slow tempo. Like,
when... Why do you think that?
Because Bayern are obviously going to sit back with their full-backs and their centre-backs, obviously because they won't have Kimmich, and their only replacement is 33-year-old Rafinha. So they obviously won't be going forward and attacking as much. They'll sit back and wait for the counter. And it's, as soon as they counter, Liverpool will be on the back foot and everything will, like, just snap.
What do you mean?
Say Liverpool are passing the ball, trying to break down Bayern, and then say Henderson makes a sloppy pass towards Salah, Bayern get the ball, Alaba's got the ball, he sprints, the whole team push forward. So it's slow, and then it snaps like that, and it just goes straight from 0 to 100.
Uh-huh.
And then now Bayern are breaking, and then Liverpool, if Bayern make a mistake, Liverpool break, especially with Alisson and his vision to throw the ball or kick the ball. I mean, get the ball up so fast, and it's gonna be like that all game, in my opinion.
Okay, so I think the game's just gonna be simply very slow and very tight.
It's gonna be a lot of tension.
Gonna be a lot of
tension.
Yeah. So this isn't gonna be an exciting game. There's too much riding on it. The game is 50-50. There is no away goal for Bayern Munich, but there is a potential for an away goal for Liverpool. Liverpool have two results which will take them through. Bayern have one, right? Bayern need to win the game, right? Unless it goes to penalties, but if there is a goal scored, then Bayern need to win it. If they do not win it, right, then a score draw, or a Liverpool win takes them through.
I really want Liverpool to get... If Liverpool get that first goal, I feel like we'll go through, because our defence has been too good this season, especially Van Dijk being missing.
Okay, if you want to talk about this season, right, then you could also say that away from home in the Champions League, they haven't been very good at all.
Yeah, I know, but our last match against Bayern, we didn't even have Van Dijk, who... I think we've lost every single game without Van Dijk this season before that game. And Fabinho did extremely well and put in a shift at centre-back while Van Dijk was there.
The point is, and away from home.
Yeah, I know. Please can you let me speak? And then Van Dijk coming back in the team is obviously going to be a huge confidence boost. And also, did Trent play in the Bayern game?
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, we're going to have...
Who was poor today?
Yeah, he was very bad. We're going to have our normal back four without Joe Gomez. Midfield, I think Kate is going
Look, stop. Did Van Dijk play against Napoli away?
Yes.
Did he play against PSG away?
Yes.
And did he play against Red Star away?
Yes.
Did he play against Roma away last season?
Yeah.
Did he play away against... Who else? Well, he played obviously in the final
right.
two.
Van Dijk, when Van Dijk's in the game, he's so not Van never Dijk, lost a game.
Well, all of those games are losses.
Yeah.
So this idea that Van Dijk comes back against elite opposition and Liverpool shut teams out...
No, I say it's a confidence piece. I didn't say it's shut. I said it's a confidence piece.
Yeah, you said Liverpool's defence is going to keep things very, very tight.
Yeah, if we get...
I don't have that confidence in Liverpool away from home in Europe.
Okay.
The competition, you're talking about an elite football club who are currently joint top of the Bundesliga after being behind. The last time people started going on about injuries and weaknesses in the team was when Liverpool played Man U. And they had injuries before that game and then during the game, and it was tough. Right?
Yeah.
So going to the Allianz Arena in front of 75,000. Playing against Bayern Munich, five times winner of the Champions League, a team with pedigree. It doesn't really matter who they've got playing because they've got quality all over the pitch. It's like Liverpool. Liverpool punch above their weight in Europe. They used to. They used to be the team that should lose, but it didn't because it has this heritage. Bayern are just like that. They can turn it on. It's a total 50-50 game. It's Liverpool keeping it tight and trying to nick a goal. And same with Bayern.
Well, you think that Bayern... We've had a tiny bit of this conversation before, but you think Bayern will win this game. Well, not win, but they will go through. Why do you think that?
It's just a hunch.
Well, I think that we've had our... Like, we've been a bit unlucky away from the Champions League. Yeah?
Really?
I mean, I would say...
I just remember poor performances.
Well, PSG was... It wasn't a bad performance.
It was ripped apart in the first half.
It's a game of two halves.
Yes, but when you're
2-0 down... Thank you very much.
Well, no. When you're 2-0 down, the other team then that allows you to have the ball.
Yeah, it wasn't a really bad performance.
It was a terrible first half performance where they went 2-0 down and they got a dodgy last minute penalty for James Milner to make it 2-1. They actually haven't even scored.
From open play. Away from home, no. Champions League.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I have a total egg on my face and Liverpool pull in an amazing performance. And that traffic looks really bad.
Okay, well, I think that will go through. I think it's going to be... We'll get the first goal. And then it will be 2-0 up. And Bayern will make a goal. But I think we will go through 2-1. I think Naby Keita is going to play because Naby Keita played in the last one. And I think he's been a bit hard done by not being on the team sheet and being on the subs. Because he started to find form in that Bayern game. And then he's just been completely dropped.
Jurgen Klopp spends 5 days a week with the players. That's why he picked Lallana today and nobody else would have picked him. Why are we talking about Naby Keita and whether or not he'll play? Klopp does what he likes. He knows the players. He knows what formations. He knows how tired they are, what injuries they have, what form they have, what's going on in their personal lives. But no, please do tell us whether or not Naby Keita should play more.
Yes, I do. Okay, right. Bye.
Well, you want to sign off?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for listening to Talk Bread. It's been an absolute pleasure hosting. I think I might do more of this in the future. It's far more interesting.
Okay, that's just a bit rude. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed. Please recommend this to your friends if you enjoyed. Applaud the episode. Sharing it would be appreciated. And hopefully, I don't want to make any promises because I said this in the last week. We'll see you next week for the Talk Bread podcast. Bye-bye.